Good morning. I'm Jason Oliver, and today's reading is from Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." He replied, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him."
Thank you, Jason. It is good to be with you guys. Really good to be with you. For a lot of reasons, especially since little Anna was born this week, which I'm glad you all applauded at. Not nearly enough, in my opinion, but it was a nice little applause. And we're glad to be here for the birth of this new grandbaby, to be able to celebrate it with Ryan and Brittany and to look forward to what's going to happen in her life. But it also gives us an opportunity to be here with you. I told Ryan that I'd be glad to speak. He knew it was Memorial Day weekend. He said, "Oh, yeah, it's like we always have 10 times the people on Memorial Day weekend. So it'll be perfect. It's the perfect weekend for you to come." I don't know if this is true or not. I mean, I heard from somebody else at Starbucks today that sometimes people go out of town on Memorial Day weekend. So you guys will have to tell me afterwards what the real story is. And we got the air conditioning going great today, which is perfect. So, you know, I better get to it and speak short so we can get a good sense of what's going on here. We're going to talk today about the reality of worry and stress in our lives and what you do with it. Little Anna coming into this world is a reminder to us as grandparents, but even more, to those of you that are parents, you look at a little child that comes into this world and you realize there's a lot of good things that could happen, but man, there's a lot of bad things that could happen. There is just a lot to worry about. And somebody can tell you, whether it's a parent or somebody in the hospital or a friend or somebody you meet out on the street, nothing to worry about, everything's going to be okay. But you know that just simply is not true. So what do you do in a world where there's the reality of things that don't go right, where there's anxiety, where things don't happen like you want them to? Well, there's some notes. If you want to look along with all the verses, there are some notes in your program today. It's a little bit different because I like to do it this way, and Ryan said, "Okay, you can do that." There's even fill-ins if you want to write down a few things, but don't worry about it if you don't, all right? I just want to make sure that's very clear. You don't have to worry about that. I do want you to see this verse, though, from Philippians 4, verse 6. In fact, let's read this together since you all have it with great enthusiasm. Don't worry about anything. You know, I think the hardest commands in the Bible to keep are not the ones that are hardest to understand. There's a lot of commands in the Bible that are difficult to understand, and those can be hard. To me, the hardest commands to keep are ones like this. It's easy to understand. Don't worry about anything. Is that easy to do? Absolutely not. It certainly isn't for me. How do you live out that kind of verse? In fact, the truth is, don't worry about anything. For some of you, that verse creates even more stress and worry in your life. Because you feel like, well, I do worry about things, so how am I going to not worry about anything when this says, now I can't even worry about the things I used to worry about. So now I've got another worry to add to my worries, and that's the fact that I do worry. How am I going to handle that in life? We're going to take a look today at some of the realities that Jesus teaches us through this story that we just heard about how to handle life and what happens. But let's just be honest at the very beginning. We all deal with stress and anxiety in our lives. Now, I understand some of you have different personalities. Some of us deal with it in different ways. Some of you are very cool on the outside with stress and anxiety, so everybody thinks you got it all together, but you're like the duck on top of the water with your little feet going as fast as they can underneath. You're churning underneath all the time. Others of us, like, you explode on the outside all the time. Everybody knows every worry that you have every minute of every day, but we all deal with it. So how do we deal with it? And I love what happens in this story with Jesus that helps us to think about how to deal with it. Because I think unless we figure out how to deal with it, we're going to just keep dealing with it the rest of our lives. And let me just be honest at the very beginning and say, I know why many of you worry. In fact, even if we sat down and talked about it, the truth is you'd say, well, yeah, I know, you know, it's got the anxiety thing going. But the truth is it sort of works for me. If I'm just honest about it, it motivates me to do things. It gets me to places. It gets me to even pray sometimes. Worry somehow, I haven't found something that works better than worry to motivate me to do what needs to get done. So just hearing don't worry about anything isn't enough. You got to have something more. You got to have a strategy to deal with it. You have to have something that works better than our worries. The reason I love this story about Jesus and his disciples is this clear picture of the two things that we need to do. And really, they're in the title today of this message, Facing Reality with Faith. Really, that's all we're going to talk about. How do you face reality, and how do you do it with faith in our everyday lives? In this story of Jesus and his disciples in the boat, first they had to face reality, and then they had to find out how to have faith in the midst of this reality that they faced. Let's just walk through it for a few minutes together. First, what they had to face, the reality that they had to face. And as you just heard read, Jesus got into the boat, started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a terrible storm came up with the waves breaking into the boat, and Jesus was sleeping. The reality was, I've written it there for you, four things. They had the storm, the waves, the boat, and they got Jesus sleeping. Those are the realities they were facing. They had the reality of this storm, and if you want to write that down, that's unexpected problems, and we've got those in life. This storm that came up on the Lake of Galilee was turbulent. It was fierce. That's how it is on that lake, on that sea it's sometimes called. I like to call it a lake because any of you who have been there or seen pictures of it, it's about the size of a large lake. They call them seas back there, but we call it a lake here in America. And this body of water, when you get out on it, there's a natural wind funnel that comes into this body of water so that you can be going on really calm water, and all of a sudden, boom, there is this huge storm that comes upon them. So they face these unexpected problems. Our lives are exactly like that. You're going along, everything's calm, everything's cool, everything's collected, and boom, this storm hits you. I've only been to Israel once, back in 1986. In January of 1986, I was out on the Sea of Galilee on a boat. We had a bunch of pastors there, so we like traded off preaching. Everybody got to preach a different sermon every day. And all the other ones tried to listen, but actually we were working on our sermon for the next day in the back of our brain. But we all tried to listen. And a guy got up and he talked about unexpected storms as we're on this Sea of Galilee. And I thought in the back of my mind, everything's going pretty good right now. Before we left Israel, I got a call that my mom went in for cancer surgery. Unexpected storm. Got back home a month later, in February of that year, a levee broke near our house and flooded our house, our church, our whole community. We had to spend years rebuilding our community and our church. Unexpected problem. Later that year, my beloved grandmother died, went home to be with the Lord. Unexpected problem. Now, some of you right now are thinking, I'm more worried than ever right now when you talk about all these unexpected problems. Unless you face the reality that unexpected problems can happen to us, you're never going to be able to deal with your worry. A lot of people deal with worry by saying, oh, nothing's going to happen to me. If I just pray good enough, if I just have the right kind of faith, if I just go to the right kind of church, if I just do something right, then nothing bad will ever happen. Well, forget that in this world. So how are you going to face reality? These disciples of Jesus had to face that. They had to face the reality of unexpected problems. And in just a minute, we're going to talk about how do you let go of worry in the face of realities like this. The second reality they had to face was the waves. And that's the reality of overwhelming circumstances. They had these problems that were on the way. They saw it. And then all of a sudden, the problems hit them and they began to overwhelm them. We worry not just about what could be out in the future, an unexpected problem, or what we see out on the horizon. We worry about what's in our boat. They saw the storm coming on the horizon. They were concerned about that. And then all of a sudden, it's in their boat. Now remember, these were fishermen, a lot of these disciples of Jesus. They'd been out on this Sea of Galilee many times. They knew a bad storm from a good storm. And they knew they were in trouble because the waves were coming into their boat. That's what could swamp them. That's what could take them under. So they had this reality of waves in their boat. And you've got that reality. We've got waves in our boat. I mean, just pick up the newspaper and read about what's going on in the world. Just take a look at your own household and look at what's going on in your life. There are waves that are in our boat. There are these realities of overwhelming circumstances that we have to face. We've got waves in the boat, so we're worried. We've got unexpected problems, so we're worried. There's a third thing that happened to them, and that is they had the boat that they were in. And that is a picture of inadequate resources. Now think about this. If you go to the Sea of Galilee today, you can actually see like these big cruise liners that go like, you know, 20 feet from one side of the sea to the other. It's not like this long trip. These huge ships are on the Sea of Galilee. If they'd been in one of those, they wouldn't have anything to worry about. But they're in a fairly small boat. The waves are coming over. And they look at the situation and they say, we do not have the resources to handle this. When it looks like the resources aren't there to meet the needs that you have, that's when worry sets in. If you had all the money in the bank that you ever needed to take care of what was on the way, you wouldn't worry at all. It's when it starts to get tight, when you feel like, this boat is not big enough for what I know I'm facing. If you had all the love or all the energy that you needed, all the emotional energy that you needed to deal with that relational problem that you're dealing with right now, you wouldn't be worried. But when you start to feel low on energy or low on emotion, that's when you start to have anxiety. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if we're going to make it. That's what happens when worry starts to set in. You start to feel like, I don't have the resources to deal with this, or I don't think we're going to have the resources to deal with this. So the worry machine, it just starts churning. Now, they had all these things, the storm, the waves, and the boat. But really, more than anything, I wanted to give you this last picture, because I think it's a picture many of us face. And that is, here they're going through all of this, and Jesus is sleeping in the boat. This tells us, by the way, how much energy Jesus gave out in ministry. He'd been ministering to people all day long. He's so exhausted, physically exhausted, that he's in this boat with this huge storm, waves coming over the side, and he's still sleeping through it all. And here are the disciples. They see the storm coming. Maybe Jesus will wake up and take care of this. They see the waves in the boat. They see that we're starting to get swamped here, and they're beginning to think more and more and more about what could Jesus do about this. I mean, he's our leader. So their eyes are on him more and more and more. And you can just imagine, the Bible doesn't tell us this, you can just imagine the conversation as it gets worse and worse. It's like, you wake him up. No, you wake him up. No, you wake him up. I'm not waking him up. Last time I woke him up, he told me to go walk on water. I am not waking him up. And finally, Jesus wakes up. Here's Jesus asleep in the boat, but they're concerned because they feel like he doesn't care. They feel like he doesn't know. So before he wakes up, he has the experience that probably some of you are in right now. You may have been there for a long, long time. The worse it gets, the more you wonder, where is God in all of this? Where in the world is he in all this? God must know what you're going through. He must see what you're going through. He's God. He sees everything. So why isn't he doing something about it right now? And it feels to you, without a shadow of a doubt, like Jesus is asleep in the keel of the boat. The longer you've been in church, the harder it is to admit this. But there are times in all of our lives when we face a circumstance, we're going through something, we got something going on inside of us, and there's this heart cry in us that is, God, why don't you do something about this? Why don't you do something about this that's happening right now? And in essence, you want to shake God awake. You want to get him to wake up. One of the biggest questions of reality in this world that we all have to face is, how can I keep from worrying when God seems to be slow in answering? When life is often overwhelming? What works to deal with worry in the realities of life? I'll tell you what doesn't work. Clichés do not work. I could stand here and sing, the sun will come out tomorrow again and again and again. It would not work because you don't need just a cliché. Statistics don't work. A lot of people try to use statistics to deal with worry. I could tell you, and this is a true statistic, that 92% of what you worry about will never happen. But those of you who are professional worriers right now are thinking, yeah, but what about the other 8%? It is going to happen, so I got to deal with it. That doesn't work to deal with worry. Even appeals to our health don't work. If you've done any study about this at all, you know that worry ruins your health. It deals with the anxiety. The anxiety in your life begins to deal with your body in a way that just wears you out, not only emotionally, but also physically. And there are a lot of studies that say many of the people that are in the hospital today are there just because of stress, just because of worry. I could say that, but how are you going to face reality unless you have something better than worry to deal with it? It doesn't work. All these different ideas I could give you don't work because we need to do something more than identify the problem. You and I have to find an answer. So when you face reality, yeah, I got a boat, and there are waves in the boat. It's not life is not working like I wanted it to. How do you face it with faith? How do you choose faith? If you're taking notes and like to write stuff in, choose faith. That's the cure for worry. You'll never get rid of your anxiety by telling yourself not to be anxious. In fact, that just makes you more and more anxious. The answer is to choose the positive alternative, the eternal perspective. And that is to choose faith, to do what these disciples did. It's this awesome, simple picture of what you and I do. And I'm not going to tell you anything new here, probably most of you, but I'm going to tell you something that every one of us, have to practice every day of our lives if we're going to set aside anxiety. What do? Number one, you ask for help. That's what they did finally. I almost wonder if Jesus wasn't really asleep, if he was faking like he was asleep, just to see if they were going to ask for help. But the Bible says he was asleep, so I believe he was. Finally, they went and they said, Lord, we need some help. There came a moment when their fears were so great that it overwhelmed their desire to act cool and like we've got it all together. And they went and said, Jesus, we need your help. Will you help us? I don't know why it is that oftentimes we do this. We wait until it gets really bad until we ask for help. Even in our relationship with God. We've got this sort of, I can handle this, I can handle this, I can handle this, I can handle this, I'm going to die kind of thing that's going on. And we wait until the I'm going to die moment. Why not earlier? I don't know. It's just human nature. But finally, they got to this place where they asked for help. And I'll just say to you, worriers that remain worriers are reluctant to ask for help. And a lot of us are like that. We just like to figure it out ourselves. We like to do it ourselves. We don't like to bother other people. All kinds of reasons we have in our mind, but the truth of the matter is it keeps us from asking for help when we need it. It keeps us from doing what Philippians 4 verse 6 talks about. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. It's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible because I need it every day. We can still ask Christ for help because that's what prayer is. That's what prayer is. The single most effective cure for worry is prayer. But you have to pray the right kind of prayer. Some of you pray prayers that actually cause you to become more and more worried. They can create more and more anxiety because in your prayers you actually outline all the bad things that could happen. Oh, this could happen, Lord. Oh, yeah, this could happen. It could get worse like this. What kind of prayer actually defeats worry? Well, this is the outline for it. Very, very simple. Talk and tell and thank. Those three things. You talk, you tell, and you thank. First, you talk to God about everything. Everything. If you only talk to God about your anxieties, you're probably not going to talk to him much about your anxieties. It's when you have this running conversation with him and you talk to him about everything, good, bad, indifferent, the routine of life, the extraordinary of life. When it becomes a running conversation, then you begin to really begin to be able to talk to him about the tough stuff of life. So you talk to him, first of all, about everything. Second, you tell him what you need. Now, God doesn't always give you what you want. Has anybody else noticed that one, by the way? But he certainly does give you what you really need. He doesn't always meet our greeds, but he does always meet our needs. He always works in our lives in that way. So you tell him, God, this is what I need. Even if you're not sure that that's what you need, you tell him, this is what I think I need. If I'm wrong about it, let me know. But you tell him. I don't know why we beat around the bush sometimes with God. We go to God and we talk to him about everything else in the world. We got this worry that we're facing. It's about our business and something that's going on at our work. And I want to talk to God about it. So I go to God and I say, God, let me talk to you about all the missionaries around the world. As if he doesn't know what's in our minds. He's a loving father. He wants us to talk to him about our needs. So I go and I talk to him about the needs that are in my life. And then you thank. You thank him for all that he's done. Now, that may sound small, but when it comes to worry, I don't know if there's anything more powerful than thanksgiving. If you only live on the anxiety side of the equation, you're going to really be caught up in worry. When I also get on the thanksgiving, gratitude side, it starts to fill me up in a way that's different than just talking to God about the difficult stuff. So, God, thank you for this. Thank you that you're real. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you that you're never going to let me down. Thank you for eternity. Thank you that you're with me in this circumstance. Thank you that you helped my friend. All the things that you can thank God for. When you balance it out in that kind of way, that's the kind of prayer that defeats worry. You talk and you tell and you thank. First, you ask him for help. Second thing these disciples teach us to do is to question your fears. Actually, Jesus teaches us to do this in this story. Question your fears. Back in Matthew 8, the disciples went to him and woke him up shouting, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. Jesus answered, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Why are you afraid? You have so little faith, he said. If you question your fears, it can help you to defeat your worries. Why? Because, here's why. Our worries always grow out of our fears. When I have a worry, something I'm worried about, it's actually growing out of a fear. And that worry, one of the things that worry is inviting me to do is to question my fears. That's why Jesus says this here. You question your fears. Because when I have a fear, when I'm afraid of something, it might be of something happening to one of my kids. It might be of something happening in a marriage. It might be of something happening at work or something happening with my finances. It might be of something happening with me, with my health. When I have a fear in life, I feel like that fear is the final authority. It feels like the most important thing in that circumstance. And you can't make it not feel that way unless you question it. As long as you just listen to it, you're going to feel like it has more importance than anything else. But if you question those fears, Jesus says, why are you so afraid? If you question those fears, you can begin to set them aside. Now, this is why one of the most common phrases in all the Bible is do not be afraid. Somebody counted once and found over 300 times in the Bible that God says, do not be afraid. He says it again and again and again. Why? Because we tend to be afraid as human beings. We live in a world where there are things that we can be afraid of. I looked it up a while back, just a quick list of some of those people in the Bible, these great saints, these great people of faith that God said, do not be afraid to. And this is just a short list. He said it to Abraham and all the way to Zechariah from A to Z. He said, do not be afraid to Isaac and to Jacob and to Hagar, to Rachel. God said, do not be afraid to Moses and to Joshua and to Gideon. He said it to Elijah, to David, to Solomon. He said it to Isaiah, to Jeremiah, to Ezekiel, to Daniel. He said it to Peter, Paul, and Mary. Now, which Mary? He said it to Mary Magdalene. He said it to Mary, mother of Jesus. He said it to Mary, mother of James. He said it to Mary, mother-in-law of Mary, mother of Jesus. There's a lot of Marys in the New Testament. I don't know if you've noticed that. He said it to almost all of them. God said to all of these and many more in the Bible, do not be afraid. You know why he said it to them? Because they were afraid. You don't go to somebody and say, don't be afraid, unless they were afraid. So every one of them was facing a genuine fear in their lives. So if you face a fear, there is no shame in that. In fact, it's just part of the human condition. It's what we're like. It's part of the condition of faith. What creates people of genuine, great faith are people who say, I'm going to question those fears. Instead of letting those fears drive my life or determine my life, I'm going to question those fears. God said that. Do not be afraid to all those people. He also says it to you. Jesus said in John 14:27, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give isn't fragile like the peace that the world gives. So, don't be troubled or afraid. A simple exercise you might do, just to be honest about this, sometime this week. You got like this extra day this week on Monday, some of you. You sit down, you get a blank piece of paper, and you write on it your fear. One of the ways you need to question your fears is to write it down, to be honest about it. I am afraid of, and you write it down. And then underneath it, I encourage you to write this verse. So, Jesus said, don't be troubled or afraid. So there they are, staring you in the face, both of them. Jesus is in the boat. Jesus is awake. Jesus is saying, don't be afraid in the face of that very fear that you're facing. So don't be afraid. You question your fears. Third thing you do is you increase your faith. Increase your faith. Now, am I saying that you worry because you don't have enough faith? No, I'm not saying that. Jesus is saying that. He's the one who says it. And here's these disciples, great fishermen. They knew a big storm when they saw it. Things are overwhelming the boat. They wake him up and said, oh, you have so little faith. That just seems ridiculous at the beginning. But if you really take a look at it, he's really talking to us about real faith in a real world. It's important to remember when Jesus said this to these guys, they had a real reason to worry. There was something to be upset about. There was a real storm they were facing. So when he said, you have little faith, he wasn't saying there's nothing to worry about here. He was saying you need to have faith here in this very circumstance, no matter what's happening. This circumstance of Jesus saying you have so little faith to these disciples in this boat, it reminds me there is no circumstance in this world that's worth my worry. There's no circumstance in this world that's worth my worry. That's not going to take me in the wrong direction if I start to worry. I love Jesus' picture on this in the Sermon on the Mount, one that's very familiar to a lot of us. Jesus said, God clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today, but tomorrow is thrown into the fire. so you can be even more sure that God will clothe you. Don't have so little faith. If God can take care of the flowers, Jesus taught, he can take care of you. Now, we think it's our worries that take care of us. We've convinced ourselves of that, a lot of us. But the truth is, if God can take care of the flowers who don't have a worry in the world, who can't even think, he can certainly take care of you. But one of the questions behind this is, how do you increase your faith when so many circumstances could cause you to worry? For some of us, many of us, we think having more faith means that I don't ever worry. I can't be the kind of person that worries. I just want to talk to some of you right now who are like the professional worriers in the room. And just say to you, the fact that you are a professional worrier means you can be a great person of faith. No doubt about it. There are some people in this world, they don't worry. They don't worry at all. And they just go happily through life, just skipping through, nothing to worry about. You know why they don't worry? They are clueless. That's why they don't worry. They don't worry because they're headed the wrong way down a one-way street and there's a truck coming the other way, but they got their eyes on something else. They don't even see. I'm not talking about that kind of not worrying, the clueless kind of tripping through life not worrying. I'm talking about the not worrying that says, I see what's coming. I see the storm. I see the waves in the boat. But even in light of what I see, I'm going to choose to put my faith in him. Those of you who can see what's coming and still put your faith in him, what kind of faith is that? That's an awesome kind of faith. So the fact that you are a professional worrier does not mean you cannot be a great person of faith. In fact, I think it means you can even be a greater person of faith. I've got this choice. You've got this choice. Do I worry about the future or do I put my faith in God? The Bible says in Luke 8:14, the seed that fell among the thorny weeds, the seed of faith, the seed of God's word, is like those who hear God's teaching, but they let their worries and the riches and the pleasures of this life keep them from growing and producing good fruit. The question is, how often have you had this experience described here? And for some of us, it's been going on for years and years and years. You're right on the edge of a faith that could transform your heart and life. It could cause you to see everything differently, give you new hope, give you new strength. But every time you get there, every time you get just that close, the thorns, the weeds, Jesus pictures it as, they come in and they crowd out that kind of faith in your life. So what do? You decide, even in that moment, I'm going to ask God, increase my faith instead of being distracted by the worries that are around me. What do? There's a fourth thing that you do. You ask God for help. You question your fears. You ask God to increase your faith. And then there's a fourth thing that you and I do that these disciples teach us when we face worry. And that is, you acknowledge God's control. You acknowledge God's control. What happens in this story is almost humorous in a way. Here are these disciples. They're about to die of worry. And Jesus wakes up, stands up, and calmly says to the waves, to the wind, "Wind, be quiet. Waves, calm down." And whew, everything's quiet. And then he goes back to sleep. And these disciples are standing there with their mouths wide open. Who is this? He commands the waves. He commands the wind. Who in the world is this? Here are the disciples worried about the wind and the waves, and they've got God in their boat. They're not even recognizing it. Once they recognized it, it changed the way they thought about everything. They acknowledged God's control. God commands galaxies with a word. He holds molecules together by his power. He certainly can deal with the circumstance that you're facing in life. The Bible says this in 1 Chronicles 29:11. Everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord. I love this verse. We adore you as being in charge of everything. Not just we recognize you or we say that you, we actually love you because we know that you're in charge of everything. Why do we worry? Because we try to do what only God can do. We try to control the uncontrollable and explain the unexplainable and get the ungettable and stop the unstoppable and do the undoable and bear the unbearable and fix the unfixable. And so, of course, we worry in our lives. The problem with this is when you try to get everything under your control, have you noticed how much of life is out of your control? There's just so many things. In fact, even the things you think you have control of, you don't really have control of like you think you do. And so because of this, we can tend to continually be caught up in this worry in life. The secret is not trying to control it more and more and more. That just makes your life tighter and tighter and tighter. The secret is to recognize the one who's in control of everything. Matthew chapter 6, verses 26 and 27. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. He said, look at the flowers. Now he says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Now, I'd argue you can take hours from your life by worrying, by the anxiety, what it does to your health, but you can't add anything by worrying and what happens with that. Look at the birds of the air. Robins don't get ulcers over worry. I mean, you ever seen a robin at the local store buying Tums? No, you have not. So they don't get ulcers. So how do they deal with worry? They don't have it. You know, you think, wait, robins are different than human beings. They don't think like we do. But God still takes care of them. Why don't robins have to worry? Because God is generous. And God, who is a generous God, takes care of the robins, even who can't think. We worry because we've got a bad concept of God. We think of him as some sovereign Scrooge. We think of him as some heavenly miser. We think of him as somebody who does not want to meet the needs of our lives. He just sort of, okay, this time I'll dole it out. But when you recognize he is our loving heavenly Father, then you get a whole new look at life. Now, some of you, and just keep going back to your professional worrier. Some of you professional worriers right now, you're stuck back on the robins. You're going, wait a minute, robins should worry. I mean, think about this. I mean, there are hawks out there in some places. There's worm shortages. There's all kinds of things. If I was a robin in New York City, I would worry. I mean, there's taxes. There's everything. So there's lots of things for robins to worry about. So let's get to this thing before we end. How do you face reality with faith? That's where we really got to get to. How do you face reality with faith? Face reality. There are problems in this world. There's no doubt about it. There are big problems in this world. Some of you are looking for heaven on earth. There's no such thing as heaven on earth. You know what you get? You get earth on earth. You get heaven in heaven. You get earth on earth. And this idea that somehow I'm going to build a world without any problems while I'm on this earth, where do you get that in the Bible? Nowhere. Where do you get that in the teaching of Jesus? Nowhere. This world is a place with struggles and problems and difficulties. Now, God will use those struggles. He'll use those problems. He'll use those difficulties to bring you to him and to grow you in him, no doubt about it. And God one day is going to do away with all those problems and difficulties. That's what heaven is all about. He has promised that, and I believe that promise to the depth of my soul. But right now, we get earth on earth. So you face reality. You don't pretend that that doesn't happen. I know a lot of people who have fallen away from the faith because they've pretended that real Christianity is, I won't have any problems ever. And the minute the first problem hits, it's like, well, God let me down. God did not let you down. You let you down. Because you thought in a way that the Bible never teaches. We're going to face problems in this world. Jesus taught it. All the scriptures teach it. How am I going to face them is the question. You can face reality with faith. With faith. There is a generous and a loving God who promises to be with you through every problem that you have, to strengthen you. Strengthen your soul, strengthen your heart. He even promises to grow you even through those problems that Satan throws at you, the worst that Satan could throw at you. God says, all things work together for good to those who love God. I'm going to take even that. I'm going to use it to grow your character. I'm going to use it to grow you to become more like me. Even that, I can do that. And we have a loving and generous God who, after this very brief time of troubles that we face on this earth, has promised to be with us for an eternity in heaven where there's no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, a perfect place. We sang about it earlier. That's facing reality with faith. Now, this thing of control, let me just get practical about this because I know a lot of us try to control it all. That's just where we can end up in life very, very easily. So let me just give some very specific advice in the Bible for those of us who try to control it all. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus taught, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. That's how you do it. The practical advice for those of us that try to control it all is you live one day at a time. That does not mean you don't plan for the future. You should plan for the future, but then you live out that plan one day at a time. The problem we get into is we try to live out the whole plan today. And you can't fit a year of a plan or 10 years of a plan or even a week of a plan into a day-to-day. You feel like, I can't get it all done. It's never going to happen. And so you begin to worry again and again and again. You should plan for next year. You should plan for the next decade in your life if you're that kind of a planner. But you can only live that plan one day at a time. And that plan is either going to guide what you do today in faith, or it's going to create worry and anxiety if you try to control it all by yourself. I'm from a church out in California that has grown the last 30 years to be one of the larger churches in America at Saddleback Church. And I'm very privileged to be a part of that church. And people look at churches that grow like that and they think, how does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. One day at a time. That's the only way it can happen. It's not like we sat down one day and said, oh, here's the 30-year plan for how this thing is going to work. That's not at all how it happens. So many things have happened that we did not expect, that went differently, that went sideways. So you just live by faith one day at a time. Did any of it turn out like we thought it would? Absolutely not. It's one day at a time. I'm a grandpa now, twice. I know I don't look that old, right? They laughed. My family laughed. The rest of you looked like, no, you really do look that old. That was so thank you, guys. So I've had a chance to see a family grow, see what happens. How do you see a family grow by faith? The only way you can do it is one day at a time. Things happen that you did not expect. Things happen that disappoint you about yourself, that disappoint you about them. Things happen that disappoint you about life. How are you going to live it through? You can't make some plan that takes it all into account. You can only do it one day at a time. So, yeah, have the plan, but live it one day at a time. Really, the rest of my life, that's where I want to get to more and more. God, whatever plan I have, one day at a time. Let me put faith in you today. Let me put trust in you today. Why should I look past today and the opportunities of today by worrying about tomorrow? That's what Jesus is teaching here. One day at a time. Now, right before we end, before we pray, I have some compassion for those of you who right now are feeling overwhelmed by some worry. It's just been getting you. There's just something in your life that even with all that I've said, all you can think about are the waves and the boat that you're in right now. So before we end, I just want to share this verse with you of comfort and strength from God's word. 1 Peter 5:7, here's God's word to you today. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. Whatever you're worried about, whatever you're concerned about right now, where do you start with all of this? If you're overwhelmed by worry right now, you start just by, okay, God, here it is. As best as I know how, I'm giving it to you. Will you show me what to do? Because I don't know what to do. Here it is. One other version says you cast all your cares upon God. You give all your cares to God. So as we end, let's take a minute to do that right now. Would you pray with me? Let's pray together. And if there is some worry, some anxiety that's just been getting you lately, I encourage you, start this time of prayer by just saying, God, here it is. Just name it in your mind. And as best as I know how right now, I'm giving it to you. I don't even know all that that means, but I'm giving it to you. I want to trust you with this instead of trusting me. I encourage all of us to pray this simple prayer of faith. Just say, Father, I want my life to be led by faith and not by worry. And so today, Jesus, I trust you as the one who's in control. Take control of my life. Take control of these circumstances. As best as I know how, I ask for your help. I ask you to calm my fears. I ask you to increase my faith. I ask you to show your goodness to me even in this. Thank you that you're a good and loving God. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen.